Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Thursday. Well, for our younger listeners out there, once upon a time, Ralph and Karen Weekly were quite the co-coaching show at UTC, had a lot of success in their 5 years with the Mocs from 97 to 01. Those springs were highly successful. And from 2002 to present day, they have carried that success over to Tennessee. The Volunteers recently concluding a 43-17 season with a heartbreaking finish down in Florida this past weekend. And joining us here on Press Row is Karen Weekly, the co-head coach. Karen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
How long do you, the way you're wired, how long does it take to get over an end of a season that happens the way it did down at Florida?
Well, like you said, that was heartbreaking, very heartbreaking for our team and especially our seniors. You know, they'll never have a chance to experience that again. And every team is different. Every year things change, but you really hurt for your seniors who gave everything they had to the Tennessee program and fought their tails off last weekend to try and get this team back to Oklahoma City. So, you know, that's who I'm especially sad for. But it does take a long time as a coach. You put a lot of your heart and soul into this. And, you know, you do it for your players, for the fans, for the state of Tennessee. Those are the people that you work so hard for. So it means a lot to be successful and to get this program, you know, playing for a national championship. And we've been so close and competing for it every year, but it sticks with you for a while, for sure.
And, Karen, I guess you and Ralph as a tandem have basically won 75% of your games, and I know, you know, runner-up finishes in 07 and 13, and I guess if I read it right, this was the first senior class that you've had all the way through that didn't get to experience a College World Series. What is it like? I mean, that bar is, you guys have set that bar so high that is it kind of one of those things that is it College World Series or bust at Tennessee?
I think we have kind of created that monster. This is the first class that we've recruited at Tennessee that did not get to Oklahoma City any point in their 4 years. So it's a bar that has been set high. It's a bar that, you know, the Lady Vols alums should be very proud of. It's a bar that's there because of the tradition and the legacy that so many who came before this class of girls has set. So we're proud of it, but at the same time, it's crazy that you feel like a failure when you get to the Sweet 16, you know, and you don't make it to that Final Eight. But that's what we wanted when we came to Tennessee. That's what we were trying to build.
All right, we talked about the seniors. Let's talk about a freshman, Ashley Rogers from Meigs County. Unbelievable season. Of course, she went the distance in that last game against Florida. A 21-7 season, a 1.94 in run average, 30 starts, 15 complete games. Have you run out of adjectives to describe Ashley Rogers this year?
Not really. You know, I just thought she pitched a magnificent game that last game down at Florida. Gave our team every opportunity to win the ball game, kept us in it. We had plenty of opportunities. That was the kind of game you certainly wish you were the home team in that one. But achieved probably more than we anticipated as a freshman. We knew she was very special coming in, but I think she probably went beyond even her own expectations as a freshman. And I think she's just a very special talent, has a really great mindset. And now that she knows what to expect, she's going to do even bigger and better things.
Karen, I'm curious because Jay and I are both youth coaches, and a week or two ago, my little nine-year-old threw 59 pitches, and it's the most he's ever thrown. You know, when you look at these softball pitchers that get to the elite levels of the Tennessees and Auburns and Floridas and Oklahomas, and, you know, they just go out there night after night and throw so many pitches. When does Is it different with the windup compared to baseball pitchers? And when do you get comfortable letting these pitchers go well beyond 100 pitches?
Well, it is different in the windup. And, you know, you go back to Monica Abbott, and, heck, she threw over 300 innings in the season for us. And she was just so strong physically and really never wore down. And every day she wanted the ball, and we never saw any dip in her speed. So if you're not seeing the physical effects of somebody taking the ball that frequently, you're going to keep giving it to them. So from that standpoint, injury-wise, it doesn't bother a fast-pitch pitcher to keep throwing. Sometimes you'll start to see the fatigue in their legs, and you start to see the speed drop. But I think really the biggest difference for kids today is they're not used to throwing this many innings in travel ball, because travel ball is primarily exposure softball. So they'll throw, you know, 2 to 4 innings just for college coaches to get a good look at them. And a lot of what they're throwing competitively anymore is in high school softball and the national tournament at the end of the summer. And I think the biggest change for somebody like Ashley is how much is riding on every pitch. So, you know, she'll throw a game and she may throw 120 pitches, but every single one of those 120 pitches was so incredibly important. And not just for that one game, but for game after game after game. So where you see if the freshmen really make improvement is just understanding mentally how sharp they need to be and how fatiguing that can be, and training their mind to get better at that part of the game year in and year out.
You're listening to Karen Weekly, who head coaches the Tennessee softball team with her husband, Ralph. You're listening to Karen here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Karen, thanks so much for joining us, and we're happy to have you for the first, hopefully, of multiple visits here on Press Row. I'm certain you've been asked this a multitude of times, but I'm very curious because I have not heard the story. What is the biggest on-field argument you and your husband have ever had?
Oh, boy. I don't know if there's been one that's been the biggest, but probably usually when I call a pitch that ends up being delivered over the outfield fence. Usually he says, "What pitch was that?" or "Who called that?" And I said, "The person you hired 25 years ago called that pitch." So, you know, well, don't question your wife's judgment. Look who she married. So,
wow, you've got the trump card already up your sleeve. Don't question my judgment. Look who I married. That is excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Usually I'm ready. I'm sure it's something like that.
All right. I'm not certain I have the right word here, but compared to when you got into college softball coaching, I know surprised is not really a fair word, but are you, for a lack of a better one, surprised by how much it's grown, how it's now an ESPN phenomenon? It's on the SEC network on a every weekend basis. I mean, but right behind women's college basketball, it's the second most high-profile women's college sport without question.
You're absolutely right, and I think women's basketball at times is concerned at, you know, how close we are on their tail. Surprised, I don't know is the word, but would I have predicted this and anticipated this, you know, 10, 15 years ago? No way. There's no way I could have told you that I could foresee this. And I think that's our challenge in softball, is to constantly be thinking about where do we see the sport 10, 15, 20 years from now, because the growth is just phenomenal and it's happening at such a fast pace that we've got to make sure as a sport that we do the right things to keep up with that growth and stay ahead of it. It's such a great game. I mean, you look at today, the World Series started, and I know there's a lot of people who never ever would have thought that they'd be camped in front of their TV from morning till night watching this great game today, and they will for the next, you know, 6-7 days as this event rolls on. But it's just a beautiful sport. It's a fast-paced sport. The players play at such a high level and with such great energy and such great passion, and that's what makes it so appealing to the fans.
And something that is also kind of a bigger picture question, there are a lot of people who do a whole lot of hand-wringing about college football and college basketball recruiting and how they are analyzing eighth graders and ninth graders. You guys have been doing that for years, and you've done it with great success, have you not?
Well, we have been doing it, and, you know, we saw it get younger and younger, and there was really no stop to it. And actually, a little more than a year ago, as the Coaches Association, the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association, we really kind of took that into our hands and got together as a group and pushed the NCAA to allow us to pass a rule to curb that early recruiting for softball.
Good.
So a rule went into effect a year ago, April, where we cannot have any contact with a prospect until September 1 of their junior year. No.
Wow.
Phone calls, no text, no unofficial visits, no contact between, you know, through a third party. Nothing whatsoever. So I think that's changing the landscape and the nature of recruiting in a very positive way for us.
You're listening to Karen Weekly, the co-head coach of Tennessee's softball team. You're listening to Karen here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Karen, I mean, you've had time in Chattanooga as well in Knoxville. On the high school level in Chattanooga, I mean, if you look at the D2, I mean, Baylor and GPS just kind of run-ruled everybody before they met in the Spring Fling Championship. I believe there were 7 teams this year, 9 last year from the Chattanooga area. So 16 teams in the last 2 years went to Spring Fling in softball. What is it about this city and this area that is so consistent in that sport?
Chattanooga's been a hotbed for fast pitch for as long as we can remember. You know, that's what drew us to Chattanooga 25 years ago now, when Ralph was offered the job at UTC and we were up in the state of Washington. We had no idea what Chattanooga, Tennessee was, where it was in the landscape of softball. And when Ralph went down there to visit UTC, it really wasn't the school that sold him on softball. It was the community and the popularity of fast pitch. And, you know, back then you had the Frost Falcons and the Parker Eagles and just really some great travel ball organizations and a really good, you know, foundation for fast pitch and an area in the part of the South. At that time, the South wasn't playing fast pitch everywhere and the SEC wasn't sponsoring fast pitch. But you kind of had this little knit city in Chattanooga that had embraced fast pitch and been playing it at a high level for many years. And I think that's what really sold him at the time. And then, you know, we had just gotten married, but I was still practicing law, but really sold us on making that move cross country to build a program at UTC. And so Chattanooga's kind of been doing fast pitch long before everybody else and doing it, you know, in such a great way. And what Jim Frost did there at UTC, building that stadium for us and contributing to the community the way he did with Frost Stadium, such a magnificent facility, and really kind of led the way for stadiums across the country. And, you know, that kind of involvement from people like that, I think that's what's made Chattanooga so special.
All right, Karen, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire. First thing off the top of the head, ready to play?
Sure.
What was your favorite Chattanooga eatery when you were at UTC, your go-to?
Shuford's.
When you were in law school, if I had told you you'd grow up to be a college softball coach, what would you have said to me?
No way.
Who do you consider Tennessee's biggest rival in softball?
That's a tough one. Florida or Alabama? It's pretty even there.
All right. Are you going to start the campaign to have the Beer League and the Church League guys who are built more like me that still call it softball to change the name of their sport?
Oh, it's fast pitch all the way.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, and
you can call yours softball, but ours is fast pitch.
Okay.
Can you watch the College World Series when you're not in it? I mean, will you watch Alabama? Will you watch Florida? Can you watch it, or does it hurt?
It hurts, but if it's on, I can watch it. I won't rearrange my schedule to sit in front of the TV, but I won't turn it off.
What's one word you describe Phil Fulmer?
Winner.
Who's your pick for the College World Series?
Oklahoma.
Favorite sports movie?
Hoosiers.
Nice! Well
nice
done!
Job. Hey. You crushed the full court press, Karen Weekly. You did absolutely a fantastic.
Karen, thank you so much for that. Yes, we love to have fun. The rapid fire was fantastic. All your interview was fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us here. Congratulations on another season. I know it didn't get as far as you want, but you and Ralph, y'all's track record, just like it was at UTC, absolutely phenomenal, and we very much appreciate you joining us here today on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Karen Weekly, the co-head coach of the Tennessee softball team, joining us. Back with more. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.